Open your eyes.
If you are wondering why everything going on in the world feels so terribly off, then you have come to the right place. A veil has been put over the eyes of humanity. Evil people in high places have been hiding the truth in plain sight and building a false reality on lies and deception for far too long. And now, their time is coming to an end. It's time to fight back, to wake up, and to begin an uprising. Now.
I can't really say when I became interested in Wicca, because it's always been part of me, part of my roots. I love Halloween. I think I'm a very autumn person. We dress up the house with cobwebs and so on, and we cast a circle, and we have a smoky cauldron, and we all scry, which means do clairvoyance, into the smoke which comes out of the cauldron. And we open the gates of the underworld. And if any spirits want to come forward and speak, we listen to them.
My first initiation, when I became first degree, was on Halloween. And I felt very, very much in tune with the god.
The common denominator between druids, witches and Satanists is the practice of meditation for the purpose of making contact with the spirits of the dead or disembodied souls.
You do a lot of meditation with the arts, and you get onto this higher plane. It becomes less physical and more mental.
It takes years of painstaking study, meditational work, finding your higher mind, being able to actually tap into the forces of nature and use those.
I have, on occasion, touched upon, I suppose you could call them spirit guides. People describe them in different way. I am aware of a hierarchy of spiritual advisors who live on another plane of consciousness that you can approach, that will acknowledge you and advise you and assist you.
Witchcraft. The title witch is from the Saxon word Wicca, meaning the one who practices sorcery. The Oxford Dictionary states that a Wiccan is one who is twisted, bent, or warped. Despite attempts from modern Wiccans to sanitize the original intention of witchcraft, its practice cannot be divorced from demonology.
O guardians of the Watchtower of the East, I, Ishtar, High Priestess and Witch, do summon and stir thee. I command thy presence at this, our meeting, to guard over our circle and to witness our rites. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Peace, y'all. Peace, peace, peace. So in this video, we're going to be talking about the holiday, Halloween. All right. Now, Halloween basically revolves around human and child sacrifices, right? But I'm going to break it down, which a lot of people, you know, don't know that it's a pagan holiday and it derives with a lot of satanic practices. All right. Now, Halloween actually derives from the days of October 31st to November 1st. Some may disagree with that and say it starts earlier, but it's actually a Wiccan or witchcraft holiday called Samhain, but it's actually pronounced Soween, all right? Now, on this day, the pagans would often give thanks to nature, all right? You know, the fire, earth, wind, water type of thing. This is where the term tree huggers would come into place, right? But it was originally the Celtic New Year, all right? Now, it started off in Ireland. A lot of Anglo-Saxons would practice Halloween, right? Now, their practice on Samhain would be to give praise and worship of the dead, right? They'd crowd around and give gifts to the spirits, or offerings, as they would say. Now, another day that actually resides on October 31st is Dia de los Muertos, right? Which means in English, Day of the Dead. Now, this is actually an Aztec belief, right, which started in Mexico thousands of years ago. They would also give offerings and gifts to the spirits. They believed that the deceased children's souls would come back to visit and reunite with their families on this day. In Catholicism, it's also known as All Saints Day, all right? Now, Halloween, which is actually a pagan holiday, you know, that not only gives thanks to the dead, but also has a different aspect of energy harvesting, resurrecting spirits and sacrificing children to the god Baal. Now, I'm going to show y'all this clip, right? This is from the movie Halloween 3, all right? But this is basically what Halloween stands for and represents in America.
And this is the best ever. A joke on the children. You don't really know much about Halloween. You thought no further than the strange custom of having your children wear masks and go out begging for candy. It was the start of the year in our old Celtic lands, and we'd be waiting in our houses of wattles and clay. The barriers would be down, you see, between the real and the unreal. And the dead might be looking in to sit by our fires of turf. Halloween, the festival of Samhain. The last great one took place 3,000 years ago, and the hills ran wrecked with the blood of animals and children. Sacrifices is part of our world. Our craft.
Witchcraft.
To us, it was a way of controlling our environment. It's not so different now. It's time again. In the end, we don't decide these things, you know. The planets do.
Now, we're going to break down certain symbology that takes place on Halloween. All right. A lot of people may, think it's all fun, trick or treat and carving pumpkins. But we're going to talk about the different aspects of what takes place on Halloween. All right. One in particular is going to be the pumpkin. All right. Now, the pumpkin concept or the carving of a jack-o'-lantern. All right. It comes from Ireland. Okay. By way of a man named Stingy Jack. Now, the story goes, Stingy Jack, right, invited the devil, basically, to have a drink with him, right, to make a pact, needless to say, right? When it was time for Stingy Jack to pay for the drinks, he convinced the devil to turn into a coin. Now, when the devil came to collect his soul, he asked to be immortalized, and the devil tricked Stingy Jack, all right, and turned him into a pumpkin, all right, hence the carving of a face into a pumpkin, you know what I'm saying? That's actually bringing Stingy Jack back to life. Now, the story goes that, you know, he was barred from heaven and hell due to his, you know, behavior, right? So he couldn't get in heaven or hell. So, you know, the devil gave him a place to reside, which was in a pumpkin. So when you carving a pumpkin and all of that stuff, putting the face in the pumpkin, that's actually the face of Stingy Jack, all right? But America won't tell you this. They'll just have you carving pumpkins and making it look cool, you know. But that's actually, you know, bringing a spirit in your home. You know what I'm saying? Now, another concept is going to be trick-or-treat. Now, trick-or-treat is real, vile, and evil, okay? This is messed up. But the Celtics thousands of years ago, but actually used children that were blindfolded and play sort of a game, okay, to give offerings or child sacrifices to the spirit that would tell them Baal, right? They would walk this child down the path and give them a piece of fruit if they were to be kept, you know. Now, if the child that they would give up as an offering, okay, they would push the child down the tomb of fire to be sacrificed to Baal.
Something about sacrifice. If you do it once, you want to do it all the time. Once you've actually passed the barrier of sacrificing an animal, you get the sort of bloodlust where you really want to do it. And I really wanted to do it.
This lady in a black robe came forward with this little baby. And at first I didn't realize it was a real baby. And she just laid it on the altar. It was breathing, but it wasn't crying. And then the high priest just took the athame, or the ceremonial dagger, and just cut the baby's throat and caught the blood in a chalice. At that point, I was staggering, reeling. I thought I was just going to throw up. I just couldn't believe it. But by then, I was so scared that I just stood there. And then when I was led forward, I thought, this is it. It's your turn. They're going to kill you. And I was lifted up onto the altar. Now, I at that time was still in white. It was part of a sacrifice known as the sacrifice of the White Virgin. And the same blood that had come from the baby was daubed all over my body. Then the high priest raped me. And I think at that moment, I was just, the fact I was still alive went through my mind. I thought, you're still alive. I then had to sign in blood a parchment stating that I would never ever reveal what had happened in a coven. If I did, I would die.
Are human beings being sacrificed? Yes, they are. There's a lot of things that I would look for to make a determination on a ritualistic crime. It could be marks that are found at the scene. It may be things like a pentagram. It may be an upside down cross. It could be, again, the number 666. It could be a loss of blood in the body, certain parts removed in a certain manner. They're victims. Some are targeted for specific reasons. One, because they wouldn't join. Two, because they did join and they want to drop out. Some of their victims are themselves. They voluntarily do.
In many satanic groups, a mother will be asked to sacrifice her own child to Satan, and she may even, in fact, be ritually impregnated to do that. She may even specifically have been impregnated, and then when the child is born, they never register the child as being born, and they kill it in a very horrible way, and sometimes the mother herself is actually asked to do it.
Hence, you see today, all right, a lot of people with the candy being tampered with.
My friend from work just bought these at Walmart, just letting people know to please be careful buying the Reese's. This is just nasty. And I'm going to open one, and I'll open a few of them just so you guys can see that it's not us that did this gross thing. Look. So people beware at Walmart. Let me open one. Okay, so here we go. We just opened one, okay? And look at what just came out. So people beware. Reese's peanut butter cup. Reina, detenga la cámara así porque voy a abrir otro para la gente que mire que no somos nosotros haciendo esto. Porque otra abrí ese y ahí se salió otro estos chiquitos. Look at, here we go. Reina, hágale cambio ahí. Ahí mire, para que la gente mire. Grábele ahí. Sí, it's not us. So people be careful when you're buying these at Walmart. You guys see me opening them.
You know, when I was young and I used to go trick-or-treating, right? We used to always have to be aware of people putting razor blades and apples and stuff like that, right? So, you know, tampering with the fruit and stuff like that. Nowadays, I wouldn't take fruit or candy from strangers, you know what I'm saying? Just off the strength. But in the early 80s in America, children were actually being abducted during Halloween. A lot of children and animals were coming up missing around Halloween. All right, now a lot of witches were using Halloween to gain confidence of children. All right, this is when the term stranger danger came about. All right, y'all heard that term stranger danger. This is when that actually came about. All right, now I'm gonna break down the costumes and the mask situation. Now, a lot of people, they say, yo, I'm not, you know, getting involved with the trick-or-treating. I just like to go out to parties and put on costumes and masks and all of that stuff. But I'm going to break down the whole aspect of costumes and masks, all right? which were used in the early years of pagan rites. Now, if you pay attention, right, you see a lot of these witches' hats, right? You see these people with these witches' hats on, all right? This is actually called the pilot's cap, right? Which is also the Santa hat, right? Now, in ancient Greece, on the days of Saturnalia, they would wear the pilot's hat to represent liberty, all right, and freedom. While the slaves who would be sacrificed, they were given a cloth with the eyes and the mouth cut out, all right? Now, when you see people wearing masks, right, and, you know, this is the same concept. When you put on a mask, these people were sacrificed. This is where the whole ski mask come from also, right? Now, the pilot's cap also represents the phallus. You understand? It also represents the phallus as well. Same thing with the Christmas tree. But I'm going to show you guys this clip of this ex-Satanist who left their cult. He's going to explain what actually takes place on Halloween. Now, if you have a weak stomach, you know, just turn it off or turn it down. I don't know, mute it. But he's gonna go into detail about it.
My involvement in satanic worship was, I was involved in it as a child. Of course, I was a generational Satanist, what they call a generational Satanist. And what that means is that my family was involved in it and their family before them. Now, my earliest rememberings of Halloween and some of the things that were involved was, it was a very dark time for me as a child. It was something that I didn't enjoy. There was another little girl that was involved in the occult with me, and her name was Becky. Now, Becky was a different type of child. She was blessed to be a sacrifice. I was being blessed to be a high priest, where she was being blessed and born into the coven there to be a sacrifice. Now, we were in a ritual where we were married together. It was a marriage to the beast. And me and the little girl were married together, and there was a lot of sexual abuse that took place, and a lot of blood that was spilt over us, joining us together.
When do Halloween rituals actually begin, and what is the ultimate purpose of Halloween?
Well, the ritual that I remember the most clearly began about the end of September. Me and the little girl, the one I mentioned named Becky, the abuse was very concentrated at that time. We were taken into several rooms where our clothing was removed. We spent the next couple of weeks in a kind of a shack where a lot of rituals went on, where a lot of animals were killed. They summoned Lucifer and his spirit to come and possess me, and so that I would be blessed to take over the position of the high priest at a certain point in time. Now, Halloween night, they had again put me and the little girl in the back of this van, and we again drove off, which seemed like for a long time. We were drugged once again, and we finally came to this stop. They took the little girl out and they left me in the van. I could hear a lot of commotion that was going on outside. People that were screaming and yelling and this low murmuring and a moaning noise that was going on, like some kind of a low chanting noise that was going on. So I knew in my mind there was some type of a ritual going on, because I'd heard that many times before. You know, it was real common to see people fall on the ground and convulse and go into convulsions during rituals and stuff with the demonic presence that were around. And finally, a woman came to the back of the van and she said, "It's time to go." And she brought me out of the van, and I could see that there was just a lot of people around. Some were dressed in dark brownish kind of robes with hoods over them. They took me up and they led me up to this stone altar. And I remember I saw the little girl, and she was on the altar. Now, at first, you know, I just wondered what was going on, because you never knew. I mean, they used the altar for a lot of different things. They could have just been sacrificing an animal over, could have been a sexual abuse from the high priest on to her. You know, it was a hard thing to know for sure. Well, they finally ushered me up to the altar, and I could see that they had bound her feet. They had her feet spread apart, her legs, and they had bound them to the ends of the altar, and they had taken her arms, which were laying out this way, and roped them to the altar, which had little kind of like hooks, which they could bind the ropes around. And she was really white. I remember seeing her, and she was just real pale and real white. And I noticed that they had slit the bottoms of her feet and her wrists. And they were taking the blood that was running out of those areas and putting them into chalices and passing those cups around to different people who were partaking of her blood. Then the high priest, he took the athame, or the ritual knife, and he picked it up and he put my hand on it, and then he forced it into her chest. So when I think back on Halloween, you know, over that period of time that happened, you know, that was the climax event, Halloween night, where they killed that innocent little girl. And this is something that's happening every Halloween. That's not just an isolated event. I mean, there are children all over the world who are losing their lives during Halloween night. And yet we, as a society, we go out and celebrate it. And we go door to door and we ask for candy. And it's a big celebration to us. And I think it's quite ironic how one group of people are thinking it's fun, and another group of people are taking human life, and yet they don't, you know, there seems to be this wall and nobody wants to face the facts of what's really going on.
Now, Halloween, which is America's version of Samhain, right, derives from the word halo, okay? Halo, which represents holiness, right? A lot of angels associated with halo, right? And then you have the word ween, right, which means to get rid of or ward off or separate from. Right. So when you put the word hollow, right, or halo, ween, right, it just means to separate yourself from holiness. OK, this is why a lot of these demonic practices take place on Halloween. All right. They're slick with the words. They're very slick with the words. So you have to be, you know, knowledgeable a lot about a lot of this stuff. Right. Now, when we look at Halloween today, we see people dressing up in witches' clothes and demons and skeletons and giving thanks to these spirits, all while not knowing that they're partaking in human and child sacrifices, right? When you're going out and celebrating Halloween, you're not only paying respects to demons, but you're actually getting involved in the practice and the worship of child and human sacrifices. All right. And, you know, the day, this is why Halloween is so demonic. You know, the month of October in itself is demonic. All right. A lot of people will say, yo, you know, for some strange reason around October, a lot of messed up things start happening. That's because this is the devil's month. All right. If people want to be technical, Samhain starts in the end of September. You know what I'm saying? A lot of witches that practice paganism and stuff like that, they start towards the middle of September, with like September 13th, and it goes all the way up into November 1st. All right. So, you know, a lot of weird things will start happening around this time of the year, because not only is it, you know, the end of the summer solstice, but it also harvests a lot of energy. All right. A lot of witches practice and do witchcraft around this time. So it's demonic, man. It's demonic, man. So if you planning on going out and celebrating Halloween, just be careful, you know, and, you know, stay safe, stay prayed up, whatever you got to do. I don't try to tell people, you know, what to do, but just stay safe and stay prayed up, because there's a lot of negative energy that surrounds that day. All right. So with that being said, I hope y'all enjoyed this video. I'm going to get to some more videos for y'all, and peace.